Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
Okay. This morning, we're going to take a break from Abraham, and there is a story that Jesus told that I want to tell you now. If you brought your Bible, we find it in Luke 19. If you didn't, don't worry about it. The scripture will be up on the screen. But it's a parable. It's called the Ten Minas. It's the story about a king who gives money away and how people respond to it. And we're just going to look at the story, let the story talk for itself, and then we're going to talk as a community. So in Luke 19, starting in verse 12, it says, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king," which, by the way, it's a good gig if you can get it, right? Noble birth, just, "I'm going to go there to appoint myself king." If you have the opportunity, I highly encourage you to do it. "And then return. And so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work," he said, "until I come back." So 10 servants, and he used each of them a mina, which is a sum of money. And that's why the Bible is so much fun, because it has lots of money terms that we don't understand or use today. So it's basically an investment that, hey, while I'm gone, it's a bit of a test for the servants. Let's see what you can do with this. And we see varying responses. And here's what I like about this story. I want you to think about, what would you do? If you were working for someone, or if you work for someone now and they're like, "Hey, I'm going out of town to have myself appointed a king. Here's some money, and I'm going to come back for it." What would you do with the money? Some of you are like, "Vegas, I am out of here. This is a sweet gig. I mean, it's like a going away present that he doesn't know that he's giving me, because I am out of here." Some of you are like, "I do not want that responsibility. That's terrifying." And some of you say, "Ooh, this is an opportunity to show how awesome a servant I am. Let's see what they did." We jump down a little bit in the story. But if we can get the next slide up. There we go. Okay. "He was made king," speaking of the man of noble birth, "who traveled, however, and returned home. Then they sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.'" That's impressive. That's very impressive. "Well done, my good servant," his master replied, "because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." That's impressive, and apparently this kingship gave him a lot of oversight over a lot of real estate. "The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' And his master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities,'" which is still incredibly impressive. We're looking at 1,000% return and 500% return. That's good stuff if you can get it. Now, the man after my own heart in Luke 19, verse 20. "Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here's your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow.'" By the way, not a great way to curry favor, just leading with that line. Jot that down, reminder to self. "His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?'" Basically, you were so afraid that you put it in a piece of cloth. If you just put it in the bank, a very modest return, far less than what these other two, at least it would have done something. And so the question is, how do you roll? How do you look at money, or how do you look at resources, or how do you look at the world? Some people look at it as an opportunity for investment, to see what it can do, to see how it can grow and flourish and become much larger than it currently is. And some of you, and I will put myself firmly in this camp, I don't like risk. I went to a financial planner when I was 24 years old, and he had me take an assessment. And when he got it back, he said, "You are the most financially conservative 24-year-old I have ever seen in all of my years of being a financial planner." We went once to a casino to gamble, and I went to like just a slot machine because everything else terrified me. Not because I love games and I love, but I just didn't want to lose money. And I pulled it once. I put in like a couple dollars, and I got like 50 cents back. I'm like, cash out, cash out, cash out. We're done. We're done. This is a positive. We made money. And then I just kind of stood around the casino the rest of the time, like, feeling good. I made that 50 cents. This is kind of boring now. You don't like a lot of risk. This isn't really the place to be. The reason why we talk about that is we want to look at that story and think about this church, Cascade. What's our story? What's our trajectory? Why are we here? And the hope is to see what could God do with Cascade Church? What would it look like if we envisioned a future? If we saw that this place could grow, if we see that the trajectory we're on, which is nothing short of a miracle, continued. And so to help us talk through that and to kind of understand, whoa, what are you talking about? Where have we been? What's the journey? I'm going to invite up Jonathan Cotton. And if you didn't know, Jonathan is our operations director at the church. You can clap, yeah.
Thank you.
And actually, as Jonathan is up here and we talk, I'm going to have Misty and our other ushers, they're going to pass something out to you because it's something we're going to talk about with money and investment, and it's an invitation for you. And just so you know, this Sunday is by far my least favorite Sunday. If I had my preference, I would just not talk about money at all, and then at some point, we wouldn't have any. And then you would come here and the doors would be locked. And you're like, why didn't Kurt say anything? I'm like, I don't like this. Let's just not talk about it ever. So if you're uncomfortable, let's talk about it afterwards. Me too. But that first parable, that sits with me, that sticks with me. And I say, okay, because it's actually not about me or my uncomfortability. Let's lean into it and see what we can do. So today is February 21st, 2016. Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening in the life of Cascade on February 21st, 2015?
Well, that was a year ago. We did not have a building to meet in. We did not have a name. We didn't have any staff. And I think Kurt, at this point, had just talked to a couple of people and said, I think I'm going to start a church, and I don't know what's next.
That was literally the conversation. Super inspiring, by the way. I'm a very inspiring speaker that way.
Oh, yeah, and you had met with the Free Methodist Conference. They, a couple of those guys had talked to Kurt and said, hey, we're interested in planning a church with you. What do you think? And that was about where we were at February 1st.
Yeah, and if you're not aware, that's not something that we're not trying to keep it as a secret at all. It's also not something that we talk about a whole lot, but this church was the dream of a couple of people. It was some ideas that were just kind of floating around, but no one was really willing to move forward, didn't feel God's call or confirmation. And then we had a meeting with a guy who's the superintendent of the Free Methodist Church, and we were just talking, and he said, what would you think about planting a church? And I said, huh. Well, as a matter of fact, we've had some conversations about that. And so that developed, and Cascade is actually a Free Methodist Church plant. And so if you're curious about the theology of that, we would love to share that with you and talk more about it, but it factors into our conversation as we get a little further on. So we didn't have anything a year ago. So let's talk about how did that progress? What happened over the next couple of months?
Yeah, so you met still with a handful of us, talked about some details, some vision, and then we had a couple of meetings. And as I look around the room, there was a few of you that were at those. And Kurt started to cast some of the vision, what he was feeling God was calling him to do, the direction. And in March, a small group of us got together, and we actually threw some money in. It might have actually been a hat, like literally a hat. There was something that we dropped it in. We didn't have a bank account yet, so we weren't sure what to do with it afterwards. Logistical problem, right? That's where I came in. But we raised a little bit of money, had a couple more meetings, and fast forwarding to June when we launched, we'd had about three meetings and some money in the bank to get started.
And so with that, what did that money kind of allow us to do? How did that impact as we started?
Yeah, so we started in June. We weren't really sure who was going to come or what it was going to look like, but we had enough money in the bank to rent this building. We rent it from a Seventh-day Adventist church, for those of you who don't know. That's why their name is on the side of the building. It does not say Cascade Church. It's, in fact, someone else's. We did not purchase this. We didn't do that well at our meetings. Yeah.
And also, if you didn't know, Seventh-day Adventists, they hold their services on Saturday, so it's not like a really small congregation that's been meeting downstairs. They meet on a whole other day. That's
so they'll be here on Saturdays if you ever show up. It's not us. So the funds that we had, we were able to rent the building. We were able to get Kurt set up on a salary. But the other thing it allowed us to do was look a couple months down the road. We knew that we had a little bit of breathing room, and we thought, where we are right now, we can bring on another staff member. And so in that kind of a position in June, we were able to say, okay, we think we can bring on a full-time children's, youth, and family pastor at the end of summer.
And so that person, hopefully, as you know, is our associate pastor, Sarah Swartzendruber, who's actually lucky enough to be upstairs right now. And the reason for bringing on Sarah was because we were looking and saying, as a church, what are something we value? It wasn't just bringing on Sarah to bring on Sarah, but we really have a value for our kids and youth. We don't think that what's happening downstairs is babysitting or it's just an opportunity to watch kids. We believe it's an opportunity to teach good, sound theology. And when I say theology, it means our understanding of who God is. Maybe you grew up in a good Christian home, or maybe you didn't. But we think there's nothing more valuable than a child growing up knowing that God is good and God loves them and God wants to be in a relationship with them. God wants to know them, that God is ever for them. And we think that we had a volunteer team that did an amazing job, but it was a lot of work to do that in the midst of doing everything else. And so we prioritized that. And because of the giving, before we had fully launched and had expenses, it kind of allowed us to do that.
Yep.
And so let's talk about... That's kind of how we started. The other thing that you mentioned is some of you committed to giving for a year. The reason for that, you may not know this, Portland, Oregon, it's known as the church plant boneyard, which is a very fun term anytime you put boneyard on the end of something. What it means is that lots of people and lots of churches, when I say a church plant, that just means a brand new church out of something that didn't exist before. So nobody else was doing that church by that name in that place with those people. That's what we are. Lots of people actually do that in Portland, and there is an 80% failure rate. So 80% out of 100, 80% of churches that start don't make it past their second year. And so we said, we don't want to do that. So would you consider partnering with us financially for a year to allow us to do that? And some of you in the room are a part of that, and it is greatly, greatly appreciated. We wouldn't be here without you. So that's who we started. Tell me about the last 8 months, because that's when we've been meeting. Like, how have things been going?
Absolutely. Great question. I believe there's a slide for this one. Yes, so this might be a little overwhelming. You're getting a lot of numbers right now, which for some of you might be like, oh, I'm in my element. That's like me. Or some of you might be like Kurt, where you're just like, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to be here anymore. If that's you, talk to Kurt afterwards. If you like this stuff, come talk to me. It's fun. We can talk about any other financial things you want to talk about.
And one other side note, if you're like, all right, I'm trying to take this all in, this is overwhelming, we printed this exact sheet, and it will be out there. The ushers can hand you one on the way out. We thought we may not be able to make this all super comfortable for you or myself, but we can be transparent. That's like the one thing we can do, and so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing this. A lot of churches, you get weird when you give them money. You think about the big hair people on TV that you're funding their second Cadillac, and so we just wanted to...
That felt like a personal shot. The big-haired people, that's the thing that we got to go with?
As you can tell, that is not the case. My hair is down, and Kurt, not the case. So yeah, we just wanted to come before you guys and say, this is the money that we've taken in. And then we wanted to say, this is how we've been spending the money. So you'll see the top is a monthly giving chart that just kind of shows our income by month. And then below is a percentage breakdown of just kind of where the money's going. We could give you a lot more details, but we thought that would be unhelpful. So as we're looking at this, Kurt, your question was, how have things been? You know, how have things been at Cascade? You might see that number that says target monthly budget, and that's really big, and you're like, wow, we are nowhere near that. Are we going down? That's not our budget right now. That's where we would like to be down the road. That's where, as we plan for ministries and vision, we're like, this is where we need to go in order to do what we want to do. Our fixed costs have been between about $12,000 and $13,000 over the last 8 months. So we've been right at about our budget for our fixed costs, for like keeping the lights on, making sure people are getting paid. So we've really been doing well. When I look at these numbers and you ask me, how have you been doing? I think, wow, Cascade is doing great for where we are. We are cash flowing. We have no debt. We've got a little bit of buffer in the bank, but it's not where we want to be. And I think a lot about starting a business. For those of you who don't know my other job outside of Cascade, I was a part of starting a business a few years ago. And in those first couple of years, you don't plan to make money, which doesn't sound like good business right on the face of it. When you tell people that, they're like, what? Not making money? How do you have a business? But the thing is, you look at it at the beginning and you say, we know we're not going to be profitable overnight. So you plan to lose money for a few months. So Cascade's actually pretty similar to starting something new in that way. When we got started, we knew there were going to be months where we didn't bring in enough money to cover our expenses. As you look at that chart, we had some of those months. We had months where we spent more than we brought in, and those weren't worrisome. If you were to ask me in that month how we were doing, I would tell you we're exactly where we should be. So 8 months in, how's Cascade doing financially? We're exactly where we should be right now, but that's not where we should stay.
Yeah, and that's a great understanding is that as we've asked, if you've ever asked me like how are and I've said good, that hasn't been a lie. It's been good for where we are. We are 8 months old. We are sitting in a place where it didn't exist a year ago. We still have several months to go before we hit our 1 year anniversary. This is a miracle. You have participated in a miracle, creating something where something didn't exist before. But we think that there's room to grow, and we think God has a lot in store with that. And the reason for that is, so Jonathan, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about like how many people have contributed to create this reality.
Yeah, so what you're looking at right now is there's about 30 people who have given more than 2 times, so we would say that that's regular giving. Probably about 10 people or so who have given at least twice, and about 20 who have given at least once, making up about a total of 50 people or so who have given since we launched.
And now Jonathan's going to name them. I'm just kidding.
Starting with K.
So that's one of the reasons why it's really exciting is because it's actually been the faithful giving of, as far as the number of people that are here, a small number of people are here. Now, don't hear that because we don't think of that with any kind of guilt or shame. It's not like we're like, this isn't finger wagging, like, come on. You know, I was at a church once. this will be a fun story. So I was at a church once and it was like tithes and offerings and they passed the buckets. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I got to the back, and then the pastor was up there, and they're playing music, and he did something. He's like, okay, pass the buckets again, and they started to pass the offerings again. And he's like, would you go to a restaurant and not tip? Then why do you think you can come to the Lord's house and not give money? And it was like, oh, I feel so awkward. I don't know what to do. We don't want to do that. We because here's the thing. We don't believe that that's the God that we serve. We believe that we serve a God who gives out of generosity, a God who gives out of love, a cheerful giver. If you ever, like, I want to give out of guilt and shame, don't. Because you're more important than the money you put in the bucket. We believe that God calls us to live a life, like we talked about at the table, that's free. And we think a life of generosity and being able to give and not taking all that you have access to is actually freedom. It's a way of living. And so that's the invitation that we have for you. And because it's been such a small number, we're really hopeful that we went from zero, nothing, to we have between 100 to 120 adults every Sunday and 20 to 30 kids downstairs every Sunday. That's awesome. That's larger than most established churches. The average church size in the U.S. is just over 60 people. So we've doubled that. That's amazing. And yet, that's been with 30 people giving regularly. So I don't know what it looks like for you, but the opportunity and the invitation is, what would it look like for you to start giving? Or if you've given, what would it look like for you to give regularly? One thing that Jonathan can tell you is it's really helpful to know how much is coming in on a monthly basis because it allows us to budget and plan and project. And so that's why we passed out that sheet for you to think over. The one thing I would encourage you to do right now, if you wouldn't mind just writing your name and an email address on that sheet that the usher passed out, just so we know who that is, and then we'll talk more about giving. But before we do that, would you thank Jonathan for coming up and sharing with us? Thank you, Jonathan. All right. Now, before we fill out those forms and we kind of talk about it, we want to talk about why. Because it's a fair question. If you can say right now, all right, you didn't have anything, and now you have this church, and 30 people have done that, and it doesn't sound like you're going out of business anytime soon, then why would I give? Grow to what? It goes back to that parable. Even though my indication is to be the one mina church, we're like, let's just hold on to this thing, okay? We'll hold on to it for as long as we can. Then at the end, we'll all pat ourselves on the back and be like, we had a good run, all right? See you later. We believe that God looks at all of us. And if you're just visiting, and this is like, I'm sorry, like kind of a bummer of a Sunday to visit, but I think we all have potential to be 10 mina or 1 mina people. I don't think we're one or the other. I think we're all both all the time. And we have opportunities where God comes to us and say, are we going to invest? Are we going to be able to risk and put ourselves in a situation? And that's basically the risk that we're inviting you into. Would you participate in the life of Cascade? Would this not be the church that you go to? May this be the church that you're a part of. And finances is one way to participate in that. Because the hope is that this could be a 10-mina church, that we could see this thing grow. And I'm not just talking about becoming a mega church. That's not the point. That's not the goal. That's not what we're aiming for, is just to get lots and lots of people here. The goal for us, when we talk about growth, is a term that we would call kingdom impact. And let me unpack that. We believe that the call for people that are Christians is to see the kingdom of God grow. A lot of times people talk about Jesus, and you want to know what's really important to someone. What do they talk about more than anything else? Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. His first message was the kingdom of God is near. He used parables where he said the kingdom of God is like. And we believe the kingdom of God is what happens when God's best allows people to thrive. That's what we want for you. That's what we want for your families. That's what we want for your friends. That's what we want for your coworkers. We want that reality to spread. That's what we want for the Lentz community. And so when we talk about this church growing, we mean a couple of things. One, that this place is always here for your friends, your loved one, your family to come and experience safety. It's one of our high values, that this would be a safe place no matter where you come from, no matter what you think, no matter how you vote, no matter any of your background, to come and hear about a God who loves you. Because that's what we believe God is about. That's the God we serve. That's the example of Jesus Christ. And so when you contribute, you allow us to keep the lights on, the doors open, and a safe place to exist for the people that you love and are close to you. Two, it means spreading out from here. We have ministries that we have not pursued or moved forward towards that we would love to. People that are caught in drug and alcohol addictions, we would love to be able to see a recovery ministry grow and come out of this place, that when people are at their lowest, we are here to say, God loves you, and let's walk a road of recovery with you. We would love to be the church where if people have been wounded or harmed at other churches, that this would be a place where they could come and be loved and could be accepted. And we could walk a process with separating the harm from the church and the God who loves them and knows them. Because a lot of times that gets messy. And you would allow us to do that. We would love to be able to expand more of what we do here for you all. I was just meeting with Colleen Milstein. Colleen's back there. She's a part of our teaching team and is wonderful. We were talking this week about how we would love to start and do a class about the Bible. If you know nothing about the Bible, this is the arc of Scripture. This is where these stories came from. This is the book. This is how it's understood. That's something that we'd love to grow into. And the two things in this neighborhood, you may not know this, but we have a partnership with Kelly Elementary. I talked about it with the Easter egg hunt. One of the things that we've been able to do a couple of times and we'd love to see grow is right now we have a relationship with the coordinator at the school. And twice they've contacted and said, we have a family in the school whose lights are going to be turned off, whose power is going to go out in the next week. And we have, as a church, because of you, as you've given and participated, we've been able to keep their lights on. We've been able to keep things intact. Now, we don't call the power company, keep their lights on, and then just high-five each other. But rather, we sit around and say, okay, now how can we come alongside the family and be able to ask some questions about next month? About what does the future look like? How do we help and support you so that, and this is the big kingdom of God thing, right? This is the best example. The hope is that we don't just keep power on, it's that we help empower people so their power is always on, and one day they're able to help their neighbors keep their power on. Because that's the power of Christ, this mutual thriving for all people. And there's a lot of times we get stuck in systems and ruts, and it's not about drug abuse. It's not that they're throwing away and wasting their money. They're in a position that we could help them see God's best flow into their life. The other thing that we haven't done yet, and we would love to start and launch an international ministry. We believe that God cares deeply about Portland, Oregon, and right here, but we also think that God cares deeply about people and situations around the world. And the call of Christ is to step outside of just the world that you know and care about someone and somewhere else that you don't have to. See, there's this beautiful thing where, like, well, they're not in proximity to me, so I don't have to care. But we actually believe that Christ, who cared for us, the God who needs nothing, cared for us. We get to reflect that and going and caring for people halfway around the world that we don't have to care about, but because Christ has so loved us. Wouldn't you want to be a part of a place like that? If you're iffy on church, like, take church out of it, and you'd say, so what do you do on your Sundays? I go to this place that helps keep lights on and empowers people. I go to a place that gives hope to those who have been wounded and hurt. I go to a place that helps support people halfway around the world in some of their darkest, deepest troubles, and they're unafraid to engage and to love and to serve. That's what we think is possible here. And if you look at your finances and you're like, there is no gap, Kurt, that's okay. It's not just about money and resources. I don't want you to feel guilty. You are no less a part of this church and an active participant in seeing what God is doing than anyone else. But if you have some gap, if you have $10 more to give, if you have $10 to give, period, would you partner with us in seeing this thing grow? If 30 regular givers took us from zero to $10,000 to $12,000 a month in a church of 150 total people, where could we be February 21st, 2017, if 30 more people stepped to the plate? I think it could be electric, and I would love for you to be a part of it. Let's pray. God, I know it can be tough to talk about money and resources. It would be easier to have a sermon on politics than pocketbooks. But God, we know that you are the God of it all. And God, we partner together to see your best come to this world. God, our vision as a church is to invite all people to follow Jesus together and bringing heaven to earth. God, I pray that we would see that expand. And God, for those here this morning that it is not for them to give, God, I pray that you would give them overwhelming peace right now. It's okay. We're glad they're here and they are an active participant in what you're doing. And God, for those, God, that you want to bring freedom to their finances, that they have the ability to partner more fully with us. God, I pray that you would bring that to them, that invitation to join with us and to see this great thing happen. God, we want to be the 10 Mina Church. We want to be the place that actively partners together to see great things. God, work through us. Work through me. May this big and beautiful thing come to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to invite the band up. They're going to come up. But while they do, I'm going to encourage you to fill out that little sheet that I gave you. So if you can just write down your name, if you already give, go ahead and If you already give, go ahead and put down at the bottom if you'd be able to increase that by a little bit. If you don't, put how often you would be able to give. And if you can't right now, peace, grace, I am so glad that you're here. You're in the right place. We're going to give you a couple minutes to do that, and then our ushers are going to come forward and collect our tithes and offerings. So today, I pray that you would go out being filled with the God who is ever for you. One of the things that's so transformative to me about the story of the minas is that I told you, and I mean it, I look at myself as a one mina type of guy. Let's go wrap this thing in cloth and just hold on until we get to the end of the road. I think part of the parable is that God looks and sees within you potential. And if you've ever been around someone who sees potential in you, sometimes you're like, well, what do you know? I bet you're just like optimistic. You see potential in everyone. The God who sees potential in you knows it because he put it there. God knows more fully what you're capable of than you do. And while we talked about it in the framework of money today, this is so much more than money and finances. This is about you. This is about how God made you. Would you walk out of here today knowing you are all 10 mina men and women, that God sees incredible things in your future as you would trust in him, as you would risk it all and see what God has in store. Amen and amen. Have a great Sunday, everyone.